Where was I, do you suppose, when I was handed this small plastic cup filled with wine? In our circles, that might seem like an insultingly easy question. I'd imagine most of you are assuming that that took place in a church on Communion Sunday. Actually, it was in Festival Foods. Some time ago, not long ago, a controversial law was passed in Wisconsin that makes it legal now for merchants to distribute samples of alcoholic beverages in stores such as grocery stores. So, sure enough, one day in Festival Foods, there was a representative of a wine company who was offering samples of the company's product, whereby it was possible to do some tasting. It was probably the familiarity of the size and shape of the cup that soon brought to mind the Lord's Supper, and subsequently, thoughts about how dramatically different a small cup of wine received as a sample in a grocery store is from the small cup of wine received as a testimony of God's grace. Visibly, they are identical. Both are offered as free gifts, but the differences are tremendous. Differences that are revealed by the wording that tends to accompany each. When one receives a small plastic cup with a wine sample in it, one hears words such as, "Would you like to sample our wine?" However, when you receive a cup of wine in the house of the Lord, these are the wondrous words that are heard. "Take and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of sins." In both of these situations, small cups of wine are freely given, but one of the great differences is to be found in the reason for the giving. In the case of a wine seller, the whole motivation is to try to get someone who receives the sample to like what he or she tastes and want to give the company more in acquisition of a greater supply. It is the exact opposite in the case of the Lord's Supper. The entire reason the Lord instituted the supper was to make us rich spiritually. "This cup," said Jesus, "is given and shed for you for the remission of sins." We're dealing with something entirely different here, for that which fills the cup in the Lord's table is so entirely different from any other beverage. It is not only wine that we receive. It is wine plus the very blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it is a participation with the body of Christ, isn't it? The cup of blessing which we bless, it is a participation with the blood of Christ, isn't it? Yes, we receive wine in the sacrament, but we also receive in, with, and under that wine the very blood of the Savior. The blood that was given for such a very special purpose. The blood of Jesus was given, first of all, in the sense of being offered up. It was given, first of all, for us. It was the all-atoning payment that was poured out on the cross of Calvary in our place. The Lamb of God willingly shed his blood in order to pay for our sins as well as the sins of the entire world. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus did not shed his blood out of a desire to get something back from us personally. He was not motivated by some self-serving business endeavor. Jesus shed his blood, he gave his very life in self-sacrificing obedience to his Father so that he might cancel our spiritual debt forever. And once was enough. He has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. But there's more. The blood of Christ, which was given for us in payment for our sins, is now actually given to us. There are these two types of giving linked to the sacrament. Types very clearly explained in the Catechism. Question 404. How, according to these words, was the forgiveness of our sins achieved? Christ gave his body into death and shed his blood for us. His body and blood were given for us. Question 405. Why then does Christ give us this same body and blood in the sacrament? Thereby Christ gives and seals unto each communicant personally the forgiveness of sins purchased for him on the cross. His body and blood are now given to us. No bread or wine could possibly be more satisfying than that which is attached to the body and blood of the Lord. For whenever we receive the sacrament, we are receiving solid assurance that every single one of our sins has been paid for in full. When we receive the sacrament, we are brought into closest contact with purest gospel. For the body and blood of the Lord are used by the Spirit to reaffirm the fact that our atonement is complete and peace with God is secure. The gospel, as it comes to us in verbal form, is adequate and sufficient to inform us of the forgiveness that has been won for us. But God in His grace then supplements that with the gospel also in sacramental form, in order to underscore all that He has accomplished on our behalf. Much more than just a symbol of Christ's body and blood, such as the Passover lamb in the Old Testament period, the very body and blood of Christ are given to us in communion, discrediting all doubts that our justification has been achieved. How misguided is the notion that the Lord spreads this banquet before us in order somehow to get something back from us, as though He fits into the category of those who peddle things in order to get something in return. Far from that, He gives this to us purely as a gift, He being the one who is serving us with tremendous blessing. Likewise, how misguided and short-sighted is our own perspective when we approach this marvelous table in unfocused, casual ritual. Isn't it a terribly sad commentary about the weakness of our flesh when something like a free sample of wine in a store generates a greater level of interest than the gift of life received in the house of the Lord? This weekend, God willing, we will be returning to the house of the Lord. And this being the first weekend of the month, we will be offered a small cup of wine and a thin wafer of bread. But how much more than just a small amount of wine and a wafer of bread we will be receiving. Given to us in the sacrament is the very body and blood of Christ that was given for us on the cross. Draw nigh and take the body of the Lord and drink the holy blood for you outpoured. What greater gift could we inherit? It is faith's bond and solid base. It is the strength of heart and spirit, the covenant of hope and grace. Christians have been singing about this wonderful gift for centuries. May we join them in marveling over the wonder of this gift and the greatness of such grace. You are invited to respond with the singing of hymn 307, the first and last stanzas of hymn 307.